This is Hitchhiking Off the Map. Every year in the United States, a serious threat hangs over the citizenry huddled about their TVs and radios. Christmas shows. We have White Christmas from Southern California. We have Away in the Manger from Rockefeller Center. We have Jews, Buddhists, and Muslims running for cover as Santa Claus breaks down the door. And still, they said, let's do a Christmas show.
And she said, what about the people who don't celebrate Christmas or wouldn't agree with our own peculiar theology?
And he said, what about celebrating what it's all about?
Which is?
Birth. This is Conrad Bishop.
And Elizabeth Fuller.
Nativity.
Well, I was very excited, actually. I mean, I was stunned and I was scared and I was horrified, but I was also very excited.
The birth of a Messiah, the birth of a God, the birth of the Son, the birth of 131 million human beings a year, who are, in the words of ancient scriptures, formed in the image of God.
Well, you know, it's kind of like looking in the face of God. That's what God would look like, is something that's just, I don't know. I see God in a lot of places, but certainly that.
We thought, how about if we just talk to women about what it's like birthing a reportedly godlike creature? And we should interview women from all races and nationalities and creeds, this incredible worldwide phenomenon.
And maybe we'll do that next year. For now, we just spoke to a couple dozen neighbors. Many landscapes, just the smallest fragment of the picture.
And if you don't have children, we hope you'll listen simply as an appreciation of this extraordinary species we're all part of and celebrate this collective miracle.
In three programs, Source, Birth, Shadow and Sun.
Part one, Source.
Et audit angelus ei, nitimias Maria, in vanisti enim gratiam apodeum.
And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son.
In the deep abyss, Marduk was made. In the heart of the Apsu, lights flared in his eyes.
Dionysus, son of Zeus and the virgin Semele, hidden in a cave.
We are unknown cognosco. Et respondes angeles dixit ei, spiritus sanctus.
Who did you tell first? The first person you told?
Probably my husband. I'm afraid I'm pregnant.
I was with my husband and we did the pregnancy test together, and so we looked at it together. My own response was fear. Fear and, like, yes, I wanted this, but the fact that it actually worked was frightening.
It was my roommate in college. It was my first year in college. I wasn't married. I ran with her. I said, I have something to tell you. You've got to come with me. And we ran to a little ravine near a creek and sat under in the bushes or something. And I told her the news.
Oh, I was totally in panic. I mean, because of the circumstances, it was just not the right time.
I called the clinic from a payphone while I was doing my work-study job. I was setting tables in one of the college dorms. And I called on the payphone, and I got the answer. Everything changed in a minute. My whole life changed in a minute. And I didn't expect to feel the way I felt. I didn't expect the surge of joy and excitement. But I think there was something that awakened in me at that moment about being a woman.
And I thought, when would we have gotten around to actually deciding to have a baby? And this way it was all decided for us.
I told my then husband, I have a vivid recollection of it. We were on a trip and I just woke up one morning and I thought, oh, something's different. And I felt this glow sort of in me and around me. And I just knew. I knew that I was pregnant, and I told him, I think I'm pregnant. Oh, he just, well, he's my ex-husband. He was very, oh, great.
Where do you want to go for breakfast?
And so, in fact, we conceived on our wedding night. Of course, I was thrilled.
Well, my father had died just a month before I found out I was pregnant. So I guess this felt like a real joy in the darkness.
The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee.
In the morning she roasted corn. He changed himself into corn. She ate it and conceived. The parents said, "Daughter, you are with child." She said, "I ate roast corn. I ate roast corn."
Probably tell my boyfriend.
I didn't. Somebody told me. I went to a friend's wedding, and there was a man on the front steps who was one of the Haight-Ashbury seers. We called him Father. He held his arms out to me, and he said, "Mimi, you're a child, and you're with child." And I didn't really know what he meant, you know, and I told my friends about it. And they said, "He means you're pregnant." Because I was really little. I was young. I was 13.
Well, I was 16 years old, so the first person I had to tell was my mother. And it was very scary. And we sat down in the living room, and I just told her. I said, "Mom, I'm pregnant." And she burst into tears.
Well, actually, my mother told me that I was pregnant the first time.
It was not a happy moment. He was not pleased either. We grieved together because we both realized that the thing for us to do is get an abortion. And that's what we did.
And we even drove to another town to get tested so nobody would know. And they told me that, "Well, it's positive." And I went, "Yay, I'm positively not pregnant." And they said, "No, that means you are pregnant." So I promptly fell on the floor practically.
And we were up in Seattle and it was Christmas. We were with my family. We got the long-distance phone call from the fertility clinic. The whole staff was on the speakerphone congratulating us. It was just one of those moments. We were just laughing and crying and screaming and, you know, it was just unbelievable.
The first person was my lover at the time, who was her father. I was really surprised because when I had gone to a clinic when I was a much younger teenager, doing the whole sneaking around so my parents wouldn't know I was looking at birth control and stuff. One of the multitudes of people that I saw, being a very nervous 14-year-old, was like, "You can't get pregnant." And so I thought that I couldn't get pregnant. And so I was very surprised. And it was very amusing because the man I was lovers with at the time had been told that he was sterile. So we decided, well, you know, neither of us are supposed to be able to do this, so we must be doing it for a reason. And there it was.
She wrote me a letter and just said, "Okay, you can go to an unwed mother's home, you can go to your Aunt Jackie's till it's done, either way the baby's adopted, or you can have an abortion." And I said, no, I don't think so. I think I'm going to have this baby. And the whirlwind started.
The whirlwind.
So he's wondering, what's it like being pregnant? Feeling the body change, the first movement, the space invader. When you know this is inevitably going to happen, when you hear other women's stories about it, when you try to prepare, when you still have to go on doing whatever it is you do.
I made a foundation in my heart my own, and there came into being the multitudes of things which came into being of the things which came into being. From out of the things which came into being of births, being of births, being of births, being of births.
I really felt exhilaration. I loved being pregnant. Just the idea, what I loved most about it was that my body did what it needed to do, and there was nothing that all I could do was facilitate this life growing inside me. That's all I could do. And there was a sense of, in that I was in the hands of just of something that was bigger than, and I just could just flow with it.
Being sick, really sick for 3 months solid, 24 hours a day, and very, very tired. And then after that, suddenly being just fine And with my second child, I actually was dancing full on up until a week before she was born. And so it's a wonderful memory to be remembering doing a split leap 9 months pregnant, literally a week before she was born.
It was just hell. Just sick all the time. I put on much too much weight, had to take off almost 100 pounds after that. The others were fairly normal, except the last one. My daughter was born when I was 45, and I had to spend all 9 months in bed. But a daughter's worth it.
I loved rye bread with cinnamon and sugar on it, or cinnamon and honey, or whatever. It was weird. And I remember I would always eat that, and then I would go to brush my teeth, then I would gag, and then I would lose it. And I was like, I couldn't brush my teeth. It would stimulate the gag reflex, and then I would lose my toast.
Well, I was a vegetarian, and I really wanted meat, and I let myself have it. It was all for sacrifice for my son. Boy, it tasted good.
When I'm pregnant, I cannot stand to be inside in houses. I have to find a place outside to live. I moved out. I put a tent in the backyard by the river. I said, I'm moving out, and I lived in it by myself for as long as I could until somebody sneaked up the river one night and stole our canoe. But, oh, and I loved vinegar. Strange things like that. Straight vinegar on everything.
I think maybe some part of my body was not with a program, you know? And at 6 months, I went into premature labor, and I almost lost the baby. And I smoked marijuana, and that was the thing that saved me. It stopped the labor, you know, and I was able to relax and stop this cycle.
Yes. With Jeremiah, I had horrendous poison oak at the time. So I'm squirming and itching on the outside, and I feel all of a sudden the stomping and bumping on the inside.
I was really kind of big. I was about 8 months, maybe 7.5 months, right in there, and feeling very full, you know. My stomach was like just under my breasts and really distended, of course, and all that. And just for a fleeting moment as I was driving, I thought, oh, I was overwhelmed with this feeling like, oh my God, there's no going back. I pulled over. And I mean, I knew it was, of course, you know, intellectually, but the feeling of it was just overwhelming for a moment. But that passed. 2 minutes and it was gone.
I was always fascinated, growing up Presbyterian, with the realism of the Christian story. The Greek gods get born, bam, Athena pops out of Zeus's forehead. But my mom had always told me how she'd taken trains and buses all over the West when she was pregnant, following my dad from one construction job to another. And as a kid, I thought about Mary getting on the bus to Denver, or no, to Bethlehem. No, a donkey. And it was very real to me.
Factum est autem in diebus illis exiit edictum a caesara Augusto.
En esos días, el emperador dictó una ley que ordenaba hacer un censo en todo el imperio. También no sé cómo era
descendiente.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child.
He was my dolphin. I called him my dolphin. I loved being pregnant. I thought, finally, I have a purpose in life. I could just sit there and be pregnant.
And I was 6 months pregnant when I got married to the baby's father. And that was, well, of course you love her. You have to marry her. Well, of course you love him. You have to marry him. And that's what you did in 1972. You still got married if you were pregnant. You didn't try to do it by yourself.
Well, it was really a mixed bag, because what happened after my father died is I found out my mother had cancer. So during most of my pregnancy, I was going between reading books about life and birth and about coming to grips with illness and death.
I used to have dreams that it was a little red-haired girl baby, which it wasn't at all. So I kind of had this little fantasy relationship with this little girl who had curly red hair.
I really wanted that baby. I had developed a fibroid, and I had, you know, done all these natural ways to heal it. And then I had a pregnancy and a miscarriage. And so by the time I really had my baby, I would sometimes communicate with his soul. I could feel his soul. I would talk to him.
And Amber was quite active, and we thought that she was going to be early. So I had to go to bed for 3 months before she was born. And that was interesting. I think that was supposed to be a spiritual lesson, because I always do too much. But I, other than lying down, I didn't stop doing stuff. I remember writing course outlines to give to other people and grading papers and having students over to my house whilst I lay down, and we held class in the living room. And so I didn't really get that spiritual lesson very well.
Yeah, I had fears of, you know, dreams of giving birth to puppies and that sort of thing, sure.
When I was laying down in bed reading one evening, I was about 5 months pregnant, maybe 6 months, somewhere right around there. And I was grieving to some degree about my father's condition. He was dying at the time. So I decided to pray, and I put my book down and I started to pray. And as I was praying, I was crying, and all of a sudden, from a distance, I felt something shift, like a, you know how you feel when somebody walks into the room, you know, you can sense that there's a shift. And all of a sudden, my tears stopped, bang, just like that, just abruptly. Somebody entering the room, you know, without a body, coming in and just almost blanketing the space with a peacefulness, a lightness, a buoyancy. And I was just floored. And I was like, oh, you're the one. You're that. It's you. And I knew it was the being who was going to take over this body. I just knew instantly. And it was one of those knowings where it's not a calculated knowing. It's just, you just know, like a mother knows, oh, my baby needs me. And I just thought, man, this is cool.
Sentina Emma Duchessa.
Mithras, conceived soul eyes to Slibinus, sent to banish darkness. Banish darkness.
Quat is born on Vanalava. Quat is born from a stone. His mother is a stone. She bursts, and Quat comes forth. Comes forth. Comes forth.
Yeah, I was lying on my bed, and I felt like a little goldfish was moving inside me. This tiny little fish.
Absolutely, I remember that. I knew exactly what it was. I was immediately aware. I was in my room. I think I was standing up. I don't remember. And I noticed it. That's what they call the quickening. And that was a sign in biblical times that the soul had entered the body. And I just knew that my little son was in there saying hello to me.
The first time I felt her move, which I was working as a cook in a halfway house for homeless queer folk in San Francisco. And I remember sitting there and just sort of feeling this like thing happen in my body. And that was just like, oh, whoa. And I remember sitting with a bunch of friends, you know, playing guitar and doing the standard, you know, hippies hanging out, and just was like, whoa, what was that?
Like being scratched from the inside, a little small sensation. It was just someone saying, I'm here.
And I was lying down in bed on my side and suddenly felt this thump, 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 thump. And it was just thrilling, yeah.
First pregnancy, movement was very gentle. I could feel him sucking his thumb later on. He would sleep a great deal, but he was rather of a placid disposition. The second one was a pugilist. I mean, I received kicks and punches all day long. I was exhausted at the end of the day. I had a prize fighter in there.
I was sitting downtown at a bus stop in Petaluma, and this little butterfly thing just went across my belly, and I thought, what is, oh, I know what this is. And I sat there. I didn't even get on the bus. I just sat there. I actually walked home instead, just holding my belly and just big smile on my face.
Well, I think I was very excited, and I think it made it real to me. And it made it real to my mother because she said, well, I guess you really are having a baby. And we sort of joked about she thought maybe there was a watermelon in there, one of those classic mom-daughter jokes. But I think it's true that until that baby moves, I don't know, it's just not real in the same way. And I'm sure my mother was secretly hoping it wasn't real. You know, so it kind of confirmed that we were really on this path and we were going to see it through.
Con María, su esposa,
being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered.
What I remember, that old loose nylon tiger striped dress, cutting out the front of an old pair of pants, sewing a stretch panel in, aureoles darkening, nipples tingling, dark line down the belly. My God, starting to spot, panic. On the ferry boat to Michigan, felt the quickening. How bizarre to be a container. Searched at the airport, hiding something. Pregnant at my dad's funeral. Crawling into a pup tent in Berlin with a 7-month belly. Can't sleep on my back. Have to choose a name that this kid'll have to put up with. Want to hug the belly, rock it, cradle it. It will inevitably happen.
I mean, I just remember just a weird, like this living thing in my body was very bizarre. But at the same time, very exciting. I'm not sure when I remember it happening, but it was pretty exciting.
And then the other thing is because you're getting so crowded, you have to arch back sometimes in your chair just to literally to get some breathing space.
The kicking. Somebody's there. Somebody's there. And then I think we'd already been, you know, reading things about talking to your child and singing in the womb, and we were trying to do all that kind of stuff. So that made it a little more present. I don't remember him kicking too hard where it would bother me. It was more a wonderful thing that he was there and it made him more real. And we even had a name for him in the womb. We called him Little Star. My name means star, and he was...
I was always holding him. My hands were always on my stomach, supporting him, holding him, taking him with me.
I remember feeling like a vessel and being aware that my body was a vessel for another living being and that that was truly amazing and different for me.
Well, I would say the predominant emotion or feeling I had was feeling so much like a goddess, like... so honored and to be carrying a child that a soul had chosen me, and just that it felt like an incredibly powerful time. Yeah, I can't think of any other time that's quite like that.
Well, here I am, a father. We've been through two births. I'm an aware individual, I think, and some of my best friends are women. But until sitting down and simply talking with these 26 women, I never really saw the magnitude, a journey that billions and billions and billions of sentient human beings have taken, and I have not. I listen and imagine.
And all I had in mind was, well, if cats can do it, little kittens just pop right out, if they can do it, we can do it.
And inside of that, it was like I was dancing with this being inside me. And just feeling feeling what that was to have another life contained in my body. And it was just the amazing feeling of connection and consent with the living being that was inside me was one of the things that sustained me through all of the difficult parenting moments. Of knowing that, no, this is right. There is something to be learned even through this. I mean, there's always something to be learned through the difficult parts. But, you know, that was one of the defining moments of, I am not giving up. There is a reason why this has happened this way. And whether it's a Jungian reason or a religious reason or a spiritist reason or, you know, whatever reason, it's a reason. You know, the multiverse had a plan. Works for me. Got up the next morning, puttering around. My back hurt really bad. I squatted down to put water on for coffee on the fire, and my water broke.
My water broke, and I had my child.
This is Hitchhiking Off the Map. The voices you heard were Cynthia Mealy, Betsy Rose, Betsy Yeager, Carol Vanek, Catherine Walker, Cecile Pineda, Cody Kirkham, Cynthia Brush, Diane Darling, Elizabeth Johnson, Gail Blum, Joy Wolfwoman, Karen Mortensen, Laurie Roth, Lorna Catford, Mary Tressa Farnham, Morning Glory Zell, Mimi Began, Nancy Mills, Pamela Maris, Pat Winters, Stella Mundy, Susan Ochadias, Ulla Menzel, and Wildflower.
Responses? Visit our website, www.independenteye.org.
Next up, The Birth. This is Conrad Bishop.
And Elizabeth Fuller, wishing you joy in everything you bring to birth.
Yeah, it was like a journey. At first it was like being on the wrong drug with no drug to bring me back. Just going on this journey, on this incredible trip that there was no turning back from. It was very mind-altering. Everything was altered, my whole experience of the whole world and of myself and of my body, and it was very, very intense.